Sure. I don't need that much mic. I can tell you that. You can tone that down anytime. I want to remind Dave that that song was first sang several years ago when we was out at the boot store by a guy named 49 Cent. If you were there, that was his first and last performance, just so you know. But it does remind me, and when Dave asked me to preach this sermon, I got to be honest, I really had no idea what I was getting into. But I was reminded of a young man who got his driver's license. And once he got his license, just like you saw the dialogue there between them. You didn't know I had that kind of impact, did you? I got your attention now. But the young man walked in his dad's study and he said, "Dad, listen, I got my license now. I can drive. I really think we need to sit down and work out some kind of, you know, agreement on my being able to use the car." And the father said, "Well, that's okay. I can agree with that." He said, "Let me tell you what you need to do. Here's three things I need to see happen. First of all, every grade on your report card, when you bring it to me at the end of this semester, needs to be a B or above. Secondly, you need to make sure you continue to go to church and youth group and study your Bible every day, and I can see that progress happening in your life. And thirdly, you need to get a haircut." The semester goes by. The young man walks in, lays his report card in front of his dad. He said, "Dad, I want you to know every grade on there is a B. I've really been involved in Bible study. And you might have noticed something. I still have yet to cut my hair. Because, you know, while I was studying the scriptures, I learned something. Did you know that Moses probably had long hair? And that Samson had long hair? And not only that, many scholars in my study believe that Jesus could even have had long hair. So I haven't got a haircut." And his father said, "You know, I'm impressed with the fact that you've brought up your grades. And I can really tell that you've been studying the scriptures. But I want to remind you of something of those three men, Moses, Samson, and even Jesus. Most of their travel was done by foot." So, if you have any ideas, young people, just let me assure you, parents have heard it all, haven't we? Maybe if you're a parent today, you've heard some of this. Life is not fair. Finish the blank. All my friends get to. I do not like you. I cannot wait to get out of this house and be on my own. I never get to do anything. If you're a parent and you've heard any of these phrases or anything similar to them, let me assure you, you're probably doing a good job. In fact, I've got answers for some of those. My kids memorized them because I said them so much. Life is not fair, never has been, never will be. Get used to it. All my friends get to, yes, but they don't live in this house. I do not like you. That's fine. I'm not sure I like you much today anyway. And God did not put me here to like you. God put me here to make sure you grow up to be a decent human being. I cannot wait to get out of this house and be on my own. I can't wait either. In fact, I will help you move. I never get to do anything. That's absolutely right. Last Friday night, when you and your friends went snowskin, spent the night with a church group, you never got to go. And it changes the conversation. Being a father of six children, four that grown, and now two little ones in my house. Amen. Thank you. I don't know what else to say. That's it. That's all I got. Well, this commandment, again, when I'm gonna admit something. This is the toughest sermon I've ever written in my life. When Dave called and asked me to do this, I thought, I got this. I've been a kid with some tough parents. I've been a dad for 4 grown daughters and now 2 little kids, and I'm doing it again. I got this. Till I really started digging into it and started praying about it, and God started laying stuff on my heart. And yesterday, as I sat in my study, I laughed, I cried. I wrote stuff down. I marked it out. I threw it away. I prayed more. I stopped, went and played cars and trucks with Jaden. I came back. I sat up last night. I was laboring with more. Jaden went to the ER last night. Has an upper respiratory infection. I didn't get to work like I wanted to. I arose early this morning. I said, God, I'm struggling here. Because what we're about to talk about, folks, is not something that's a laughing matter. It's something that's very serious. It is interesting that the Ten Commandments are broken up into 2 sections. The first 4 that Dave's been preaching on deals with the relationship between God and man. And the next 6 deal with the relationship between man and man. And the first one he deals with is the relationship between the parents and the children. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that if these 2 can't get along with each other, if they can't figure this out, if they do not understand what honor means, if they don't understand what all is going on here, that maybe they can't get along with anybody in the world? Could it have anything to do with the fact that God puts us in families, in family units? And you got to go back in the Hebrew. It wasn't just the mother and the kids. It might have been the concubines. It might have been the slaves. It might have been their children, some aunts, some uncles. Throw in a few more. Somebody that came and stayed and didn't leave soon enough. It engulfed a whole bunch of people. And in all of this, there has to be an authority. Now, we know God is the ultimate authority, but there has to be structure. There has to be something that keeps this order together, and that's what we're going to look at. What does this word honor mean? Does it mean I bow down and grovel at your feet? Does it mean I worship everything you do? Because we're going to deal with some tough stuff today. I'm going to tell you, first of all, honor doesn't necessarily mean love. Honor doesn't necessarily mean obey. It doesn't necessarily mean any of that, although it could. The Hebrew noun that is used here is translated glory. In the Greek, it referred more to honor. Honor that was applied and due to God. Glory that was given to superiors, to elders, to leaders, to kings, to rulers. Thus, we can determine that the parents are the superiors of the family and are to be treated as such. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, kids, young people, teenagers, listen carefully. Do not miss this. Don't miss this. It is the first promise, it is the first commandment with a promise that their days would be long in the land that God had granted to them. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul put it this way: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. Let me tell you something. Go back to what we talked about earlier. If you don't obey, or if you don't respect, if there's no honor, it's not going to go well. And your parents probably have been through it. I have. I was a difficult teenager. I thought my dad was going to take me out. I thought my dad was going to go, you know what? It's not going to be a long life for you. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it. And I think at times he might have been serious. Now, we laugh at that, but I want us to understand just how much God thinks that disrespect and dishonor needs to be dealt with. Just turn the page to Ephesians 21, verses 15. Listen to what he says. Anyone who attacks his father and mother will be punished for 2 weeks without Xbox and can't go out with his friends. No! You know what it says? He's taking you out. You're put to death. Now think about that for just a second.
Go on down to 17, because this even gets even more tougher. Anyone who curses his father or mother must not drive the car for a month. Exodus. We're in Exodus. Sorry. Chapter 20 and 21. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. He says, if you curse your parents in Hebrews times, during this time, God said you'll be put to death. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems severe to me. That seems very severe. But I think God wants us to understand that disorder leads to chaos. It leads to the destruction of the home. It leads to the destruction of institutions that God has put in place for a reason. So I just want us to take a couple of minutes and let's look at this parent-child honoring together. Because there's two people, there's two groups involved. If parents came today thinking they were going to get off the hook, that, hey, they're going to talk about kids honoring me, you came to the wrong church. The first thing we need to understand that parents should live a life worthy of being honored. Yeah, nobody, I didn't get no cheers out of that one. I didn't hear no laughter. The rumbling's still coming, though. You should be living a life that deserves being honored. Do I need to just take this off or get rid of it or something? I can yell loud enough. If I got it too close, man. You see, this has much to do with the concept of fatherhood and motherhood as it has to do with fathers and mothers as well. In other words, that we should, as parents, what we should do is make sure our lives are being something that can be honored. That we understand the ramifications of not being a good parent. That we should take that seriously. Not only is it a right for children to honor their parents, we should give them something to honor. Look around at our culture. Look at it. We treat marriage like we're buying clothes. We try it on. We outgrow it. We get tired of wearing it. It looks old and tattered. We need to get something new. We get rid of it. Got to go get something else. Is that not true? It's how we treat it. It's not something that we look at in the scriptures that God instituted and said, you will cling to this woman and to this man until you die. And God says, I don't care what goes wrong. I don't care how bad it is. If you put God in place, He can fix it. And it can be better than it was. But we have to trust. When I counsel young married couples, I go through those vows and say, do you believe this? Do you believe this? In sickness and in health, you're going to be right there? When you're struggling financially, you don't have much, and you just went to the grocery store, and there's $20 in the checking account, and you don't get paid for 2 weeks, and your wife wants a new dress? That was my wife's eye-opening moment. It's tough, but we do. Look at how our culture treats children. We sacrifice the unborn at the altar of choice. Children are tossed like leftovers after a bad meal. It's tragic. Countless are raised by television, video games, and total strangers so they can maintain their lifestyles. I'm just being honest. You don't have to agree with me. This is what I've seen. Some I've experienced. You see, thus right before our eyes, we see Satan destroying the family. Right before our eyes, we see why 15-year-old children walk into schools and unload on people. We see children so confused and they are so messed up, they don't even think that God made them correctly, that they're messed up and they think they're something they're not. They don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. Whose fault is that? God's? Is it God's? Most of this stuff lies at the foot of parenting. We need to take parenting serious. The family unit is the building block of any nations. As the family goes, so go nations, so go cultures. We want to know why our culture's in such chaos? Look at the systematic destruction of the family. And if you don't think it's that way, you're living in a dream world. You're blinded by Satan, and you don't see what's going on around you. Satan has put together a plan of attack on the very things that God says we should deserve to honor, and we don't. Parents need to be fully conscious of the high task and the responsibility required in being a parent. This will allow children to honor them. So, parents are to be honored, young people. How do we do that? How do we honor our parents? I'm going to give you a few things. First of all, when you're young, by accepting instruction and correction. It's what they're here for. They're not here to be your buddy. I got news for you. That's not what God created this whole thing for. You got buddies. That's not what they are. Now, if you can build that relationship, that's okay. I just remember my aunt telling me, her oldest daughter, Patty Jo, she said, I didn't even like her till she was 21. But in the other years of their life, they were the best of friends. But she said that first 20 years, they're not here to be your buddy. But they're here to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. They're here to correct you when you walk off the path. They're here to try to keep you in line. Parents are trying to teach you, part of it based on their knowledge and experience, part of it based on the mistakes they made. And so they're trying to help you to prevent you from making the same dumb mistakes we did, because we made some. And they had that experience that it wasn't going to go well. They're just trying to help you. Remember their children once too. As you get older, then that respect and counsel starts to come into play. Always show your parents respect. They've earned it. They've taken care of you. They've listened to your whining. They sacrifice for you to have things. They're beside you when you're sick. They let you puke in their ear. You had to go clean it up. They swabbed your bottom. They gave you baths. They fixed your bikes. They listened to all of that stuff and loved you every minute of every day. So listen to their counsel. Chances are they've already learned, again, a lot of those hard lessons. And they're just trying to keep you from learning it the hard way and save you just a little bit of pain. Finally, when you get older, you have your family, you have your job, and you have ball games you're going to, and this you're going to, and all of this that you're doing, take care of them when they're old. That is the responsibility of children, believe it or not, to take care of their parents. God wants us to value old age. We cheapen it in our culture. We want to toss it aside. We want to have nothing to do with it. But God wants to put a value on that. These people are to be respected and honored. I thought back about people that were much older that had an impact on my life that at the time I did not realize the impact they were having, but I see it now. Cherish that. Don't discard it. There may come a point in time when you may have to make a decision on what to do with your parents medically. It may not be they stand with your house or how they get taken care of. That's okay. Those are tough to do. I remember when my father got to the point that we could not let him live on his own. And so we approached him and said, Dad, we've talked to, and my dad was a veteran, to Thomas Hood. You can go there. There's an opening. Those people are really good. We want you to go. They didn't want to go. I've been on my own, on my own, blah, blah, blah. You know, I heard that. You know, you hear that. But I had to do what's best. We had to do what's best for my father. I said, look, we're not going to clean out your apartment and sell everything. We're going to keep it for a month or two. You go there, see how you like it. If you don't like it, we'll come back, figure out something else. So that's what we did. He was there about a month, and I stopped in to see him. And I said, well, how's it going? He said, well, son, they give me 3 square meals a day. And it's pretty good food. I said, well, do you like it? He said, you know what? This little gal came in the other day and gave me a sponge bath. I think I like it here. That was my dad. Well, Dad, I'm glad you like it, because I'm not sure I wanted to do that. But anyway, but that happens. It's okay. Just try to make sure you're prayerfully considering making the right decision. Don't just throw them aside and say you don't have no say in this. They've earned that. We had to move my mom off the lake. She'd been down there for most of her life and grew up there and couldn't get to her, and down a hill and snow and ice. And it was like, you know what? I think we could have got a bill passed through Congress faster than we got my mother off that lake. But Mom, you're 80 years old. You can't be down here. We can't get to you. We can't help you. That stuff happens. Make sure that you honor them and all of that. Now let me just take a few minutes and talk about parents who do not deserve to be honored. And I say that loosely because they still deserve honor, but I'm talking about parents who aren't worthy of it. Let me rephrase that. Because we don't live in a great culture for a lot of this. Everyone in this church knows about the rise of foster care that's required and needed. Why? Because parents aren't worthy of honoring. I would be naive to think that there's somebody in this room who doesn't have an issue that everybody has a perfect relationship with their parents. Chances are some of you are going, I don't like anything he just said because of that situation. Here's what I have to say to you. How do you deal with that? How do I deal with a parent who's abused me? How do I do that? How do I deal with the parents who threw me to the curb, didn't care about me? Rodney, how does God expect me to honor them? How does God expect me to respect them? How does God expect me to do anything because of the pain and the heartache and the misery that they put in my life? I could only go to Scripture and prayer, and this is what I have to say. First of all, forgive them. This may be hard. They still may be hurting you this very moment. But forgive them. You cannot help how they treat you or how they've treated you, but you can determine how you treat them. This is what God asks us to do. This is why Jesus went to the cross. So forgive them. Secondly, and although it's not necessarily demanded in this, it is asked of by Jesus, and that's to love them. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. If you're in this situation, you probably look at that parent as an enemy. Well, you love them. You love them in spite of the circumstances. You show them kindness in spite of how they treat you. It doesn't matter. You do what God has asked you to do. And when the time comes, you take care of them. It's got to even be tougher because they didn't take care of you. Why should I take care of them? Because that's what God asks of us as Christians. Your good health depends on it. Why do I say that? Well, it's really hard to feel good about yourself when you're neglecting your own family. Your self-esteem will not be what it needs to be. Satan will use that to destroy you as much as he's destroying them. I have unfortunately met many adults who are burdened because they lose a parent and realize how guilty they are because they neglected them. And it's too late to say anything to them. They're gone. So care for them. There is joy for adults who care for their parents before they die, irregardless of the situation. And lastly, you need to pray for them. Your prayers will soften your heart in this difficult situation. And who knows? It might soften theirs. It might soften theirs. There is one condition that I want to apply to almost everything that we said today from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Especially when we talk about the obedience part. Because Paul makes it very clear in Ephesians that you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You may become faced with a situation, and if you're in an abusive situation, or if you're in a place right now where you're struggling with that, where your parents may ask you to do something that's contrary to the will of God. How do I deal with that? You have to respectfully decline. Still show them honor, but say, I can't do that. I can't. As much as it pains me to be disobedient to you, I can't do that. I can't do that. I was reminded of a young girl that came to me when I was at camp many years ago. She was from a Catholic background, and her parents forbid her to be immersed. She was only 15. She was in my youth group. She came to me at camp. She says, Rodney, I want to be baptized. I've listened to you all preach. I've studied the scriptures. I know what God tells me to do. But I don't know how to tell my father. If I tell my father, he's probably not going to be happy about what's getting ready to take place. I said, fine, we'll just baptize you and you can tell him whenever you're ready. Because I'm called to baptize and to teach and to preach, and that's what I intend to do. So we'll go to the pool and we'll baptize you tonight in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you'll be saved, and you and your dad can take care of it whenever you're old enough or you feel like it happened. Then she called her dad and said, you know what, Dad? I'm going to be baptized. I know it's not what you want, but it's going to happen. He was okay with it. So there are times when you may have to be disobedient respectfully because it goes against the will of God. I want to conclude with the fable from Aesop. It's a fable about a young married couple who had a son, and the man's father grew old and could not take care of himself. And so, they had to move in. He had to move in with the couple. After time, as he got older, he sat at the table. He kind of looked like Adam Tipton did in that video. He couldn't hold his spoon right. He was slopping. He was making a mess. It was just almost disgusting at supper time. So finally, the wife just couldn't deal with it anymore. She set a table up over in the corner and put a chair over there and said, you can just eat over there every night so we don't have to put up with this. After a time, it got so bad of dropping his stuff and dropping his dishes and food getting everywhere, she made a little trough for him and just set it in front of him and said, you're going to act like a pig, eat like one. Well, one day, the two parents heard their son out back working on something. He was hammering and building and, you know. They walked out there and they said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm building troughs for you and Mom so when you get old, you'll be able to eat." Folks, know they're watching. Know they're watching. And I was taught this at a very early age. How you treat your parents is how you'll be treated.